Following is a presentation of Edgewood Reformed Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
It's always a privilege, as we heard from Brother Bo, to be able to worship the Lord together in a setting such as we have had. I'm just going after my water. I have been blessed by the two messages from Brother Rusty and from Brother Bo. Somewhat can relate to the old farmer that put his mule in the Kentucky Derby. Have you ever heard about that farmer? Oh, you don't know about that farmer? Well, let me tell you about him. Because Verda is a very small place. The reason he's not familiar with Verda is because when I lived 2 miles down a gravel road from Verda, there was only 47 in population in the city of Verda. I'm sure that was counting the dogs and the cats, Brother Lamar. So I can relate to the farmer who put his mule in the Kentucky Derby. And he was saddling up his mule, and this guy walked by, and he said, "Sir, you must be crazy. You don't put your mule in the Kentucky Derby? Have you lost your mind? Do you know you'll not have a chance out there with those thoroughbreds running the Kentucky Derby?" He said, "My son, I'm aware of that. I'm just glad to be in the race." I'm just glad to be in the race. Amen. It's a privilege, humble privilege, to be asked by this precious church and you, Brother Rusty, to come and to share the Word of God with you this afternoon. You may notice I have 15 minutes, and so I'll talk quick if you'll listen quick. Just kidding. He did tell me I had 30 minutes, I believe it was, or maybe 45. I'm not sure. Been given a task, one that's been quite challenging for me as a pastor, and more so as a husband, and even more so as a dad, to bring before you the message this afternoon on the family and the Scripture. And there is an enormous amount of Scripture. It's not a matter of what to find or where to find it. But it's a matter of, God, where do you want me to speak? What passage of Scripture would you have me to exegete and to explain and to preach and teach on? And as you know, Brother Lamar read the passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And we've heard last night from some of this passage, and so I'll be very cautious and careful not to repeat or to go over as much as possible, but try to tie this together. And I somewhat hesitated when I realized what you was preaching on, and I said, "Lord, dear Jesus." But then I quickly noticed it was the providence of God, the sovereign hand of God. For this evening, my prayer is that we'll see in how that this is tied together, that the family is tied together with the Scripture. For you who are older, and I may need to look just a little bit on this side of the sanctuary, do you remember the day when you walked into almost anyone's home? And if you walked into the living room and there was a coffee table there was a particular item that was centered upon that coffee table. I'm sure you know. It was called the Family Bible. Do you remember that Family Bible? That thick. Do you remember opening it up and it having not just large print, Brother Bo, but extra giant print? And I'm thinking, who would need this? And now I know. You say, why do you bring that out, Brother Craig? I bring that out, my brothers and sisters, to share with you my heart. As I share this message about the family and the Scripture. There were days of old, even as young as I can remember, where the Scripture was the center of the family room, where the Bible was located in the center of that room. And the family was gathered around the Bible. And the Bible was read. And the Bible was studied. And the Bible was talked about. But may I submit to you today that that has been replaced? That today we have the Nintendo that's on that table. We have the Xbox, whatever that might be. We have the iPods or the iPhones and any other game or gimmick or gadget that lays at the center of the family room in our house. Is it no wonder that our families are falling apart? Is it no wonder that we have so many divorces today? Is it no wonder that we have homes where the mother and the father do not rule the house, but rather children do? Is it no wonder that that even flows down out of the home into the schoolhouse? No wonder there's no order in the schoolhouse, Brother Lamar. Which that flows down into society, even into the White House. As I speak about the family and the Scripture, isn't it a sad state, brethren and my sisters, that we live in such a pagan nation that for the first time in the history of the United States of America, our president and vice president have publicly come out and supported same-sex marriages. No wonder we are at the state that we're in. The Bible is no longer the centerpiece in our homes. And boy, how God has etched that into my heart. Our families are filled with all types of entertainment and entertainment houses, all types of games, so much so that that has infiltrated down through into the church. Is it no wonder that our churches are nothing today but movie houses and entertainment centers? My friend, it comes back to the home. It comes back to the place of the family. You may notice in your handout that there is something similar to an outline. Now, you can do with that what you wish. It's there for you to use. It's there for you to not use. It's up to you. If you want to fill in blanks, then you can follow me. If you don't, that's fine. You don't have to do that. If you want to wait and after the message get the blanks from me, you can do that. Just however you want to. But my heart is, my prayer is that you will hear the message that God's put on my heart from His Word. And if it helps you with the outline, then use it. But if it's going to be a distraction, then close it and don't look at it. And listen to the message that God's put on my heart. The Christian family is in trouble. Can I say that again? The Christian family is in trouble. Why do I say the Christian family? My friend, the world's family is going to be like the world's family. We must not fret over. And we must not argue over. And we must not debate over why the world is like the world. The world has always been like the world. But God has called us as His children to come out of darkness. He's called us to be a peculiar people. He's called us to be a holy people. He's called us to be a separate people. And my friend, what we have today is a group of people who proclaim to be Christian who are nothing more than pagans. Why is the Christian family in so much trouble? I mean, my goodness me, you can go to any bookstore and you can find aisle after aisle after aisle. Can you not? Upon books about the family. 10 steps to improve your family. Even to know how you can live your better life now. I mean, bookshelves and bookshelves of books on the family, and so that is true, but my friend, have we forgotten not some book and not a book, but have we forgotten the book? The centerpiece for the home. MacArthur, and I mean by that John MacArthur, said that he believes that we are obsessed with the family. And you can take that as you wish, or you would. And I believe it's a preoccupation with the family. And in the Christian circle, we've lost our perspective on why the family is important. Let me say that again. I don't think any of you heard me. I believe today that as we survey at least America, I think we would agree that there is an obsession, a preoccupation with the family. Family thoughts, family ideas, family agendas. Now, in their right place, many of these are okay. But the problem is, they're the standard. We have a preoccupation with it, in that we don't understand the importance of the family. Paul shares in this letter to Timothy. Notice he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come." And if you're wondering, I'm preaching out of the King James Version. Not that I'm against the ESV. I'm not. I love the ESV. But after 21 years, it's hard to leave my King James. But Paul shares with Timothy in these last days, perilous times shall come. Troubling times shall come. Paul is encouraging Timothy to guard the truth against these who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He says, from such turn away. He even goes on to say in verse 13 of that same chapter, "But evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." My friend, we are in desperate days. Desperate days in which we live. I would like to share with you 3 important points of this passage, one of which I will not spend much time on. But the first and the last, I would like to spend the majority of my time on. Verse 14, I want to speak this evening on the subject of the mission of the family. If we miss the mission of the family, what is the importance of the family? If we miss that, then we will miss everything else. Secondly, the message in verse 15 and verse 16 is the message of the family. And then in verse 17, I want to spend the rest of my few moments on the messenger. So the mission of the family. Well, what is the problem in families? That's the first blank, if you can follow along. And the mission of the family is the problem in families. Have we lost what is the family's mission? How many Christian families today believe it is always a priority, that the family is always a priority over the ministry? I mean, there are many parents today who will drop every form of Christian service to do family activities. Now, they do in LaSalle Parish and Catahoula Parish, where I'm from. I don't know about up here in Monroe. But I'm talking about people who've been in the church all their lives will drop all Christian activity in order to do family activity. Some have even decided to devote the entire weekend to sports or camping or rodeos just for the sake of the family and miss church completely. There's a problem. But what is the priority in God's family? What is the priority with God in families? Well, He tells us this, and I'm just going to touch on a few. Number one, God wants children to honor their parents. That's God's standard. He tells us that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That is the Word of God. That's a priority. Number two, the husbands are to love their wives. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's the Word of God. That's a priority. Number three, wives are to submit to their own husbands. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's what the Word of God says. These are priorities. And then it says, parents, you're to train your children properly. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There are priorities in the Word of God. There is a standard that is set before us. We live in such a pragmatic day that we have dismissed the standard of God's Word and the priority of God's Word when we come to the family unit. And that now that we believe that we can add to or take away, and God will approve our pagan ideas and our pagan thoughts and our pagan means. What a day we live in, my brothers and sisters, where we must return to the authority and the sufficiency of the Word of God to the family. So what is the purpose of the family? This is the mission. We're talking about the mission of the family. The Christian family is to exalt Christ and to live in obedience to Him. As I look through the letters of Paul, I find, Brother Buster, I find four central themes that are very common in all of Paul's letters. And the first one being to know the truth about Christ. Was it not Paul in writing to the church at Philippi? In that third chapter, he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and even being made conformable even unto the point of death. I'll tell you, Paul had a heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another theme that runs through the letters of Paul, and that is to obey Christ. Was it not Paul in Romans chapter 12? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove ye that which is acceptable even unto the Lord. Oh, he had such a desire in his writing of his letters to know the truth about Christ and to obey the truth about Christ. But then, did he not write his letters and charge Timothy to guard the truths of Christ? That my friend, listen, there are those even in this one chapter, he says, there are those who will do anything to tear apart. There are those in that those perilous times that will come in. Evil men and seducers. And it's going to become worse and worse. And they'll deceive and deceive more. Guard the truth about Christ. And then he talks about how we are to live in obedience to Christ. To live out our lives as we are to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And have fellowship with Him. Oh, the Scripture speaks so much of that. My friend, I want you to know that is the mission of the family, is to exalt Christ. Christ is to be the centerpiece of our homes. And you say, Brother Craig, wait just a minute. I thought you just said we needed to return to the Holy Scripture being the centerpiece to our homes. I did, my friend. Was it not, John, under the inspiration and revelation of God, who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My friend, listen, we must hold dear to the authority and the sufficiency of the Holy Scripture, because it is in it. It is in the Holy Scripture that we know of Christ, and that we learn of Christ. And that we follow Christ. What is the mission? Well, there are several passages I think I put in your notes. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. I'll not go there. That's there for your sake. Or I'll not get through in 15 minutes. Props. There are props today. You know, it's a sad fact that there are counselors today, and even who entitle themselves as Christian counselors, of which I'm not. I'm a biblical counselor. I share Scripture. But there are those today who give counsel to marriage couples and to those who are having family problems. And their answer to these problems are, you need a night out. You need a date night. That's one of the props. Another props that a prop that many of the counselors might offer and give is hobbies together. You need to find a hobby. Go play a game of golf and relieve the stress. Others will say sports, watching games or attending or any of the above. You can write any of those in those blanks. But my dear friend, have we left the centerpiece, which should be none other than Christ and Christ alone in our families, that He is our mission? Our mission as a family is about Christ, that we are to exalt Him, that we are to learn of Him, that we are to obey Him, that we are to follow Him. And I'll tell you, friend, that is first and foremost in our homes. And I wonder if we have not lost our mission in our homes today. The family who knows this purpose, to exalt Christ and obey Him and to live as a humble slave in His kingdom, need not external props. Why? Because there is a glue which will bond them together to accomplish the purpose that God has placed them there for. Amen. And I'm so thankful for God's Word in telling us that. Look with me, please, now, as we look in verse 14. That's the introduction. So let's look in verse 14, and I'll try to quickly share with you my heart. Notice what he says here. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All the chaos is going on. All that's going on, and Paul is writing to Timothy in this closing letter, and he is writing possibly the end of his encouragement to Timothy. And this is what he says to Timothy. Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. Keep on keeping on. Keep on continuing is what he's saying here. In the things that you have learned. Well, that's very interesting. If he encourages Timothy to keep on keeping on and continuing in the things, that really jumped out at me in my heart. Continue thou in the things? What things? Well, I'm glad he tells us. Because if you read on down, and I'll try to quickly, notice what he says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. What are the things that he's to continue in? The Holy Scripture. Keep on keeping on in the Holy Scripture. Continue on in the Scripture. That which has started, continue. Let it not end. These things, Timothy, you need to know, are very, very important. Don't deviate from them. Remain fixed and remain focused upon these things. It's as if Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, there is a lot of deception out there. And there are evil men that are deceiving many. But I encourage you, stay fixed. And stay focused upon the things that you have learned. Don't get distracted. Don't get detoured. Isn't it easy to get sucked in? Can I ask you that? And before you know it, you're where you shouldn't be. And Paul is encouraging Timothy here. Don't be deceived. Timothy, keep on, continue on in the things that thou hast learned. Well, this word learned means to disciple someone. It means to disciple someone. You mean Timothy has been discipled? That there is to be an ongoing, there is to be a continuing of the study of the Holy Scripture, in that he has been taught, is that he has learned, that he has been discipled in, is that discipling process is to continue. My dear friend, is there ever a time when we quit learning? That we quit being a disciple? I submit to you, never. Never. You've been discipled. Now don't deviate from it. Don't change course, is the message that he's giving to Timothy here. That's the mission. You've learned of Christ. Keep on learning. Is there ever a day? Is there ever a time? No matter how old or how young, that we can learn too much of Christ? Is there ever come a time and a place when we've reached that place where we've attained that goal that we can say, I'm retiring. I've learned all there is to know about Christ. Is there such a place? I'll say, my friend, no. Paul's encouraging Timothy to learn of Christ and to keep on learning of Christ. My friend, listen, you ought to learn more of Christ and know more of Christ today than you did yesterday, than you did last week and you knew of last month. Why is it that we have our churches who are full of elderly people who know nothing of Christ? He says not only to continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, but you are to be assured of them. But you are to be assured. What does Paul mean by this? It means to be convinced, to have confirmed, to be established in these things, assured of, established, convinced, confirmed of them. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them means someone has taught them. Amen? Somebody's taught Timothy. Someone has schooled him. Somebody has discipled him. And Timothy could only continue in these convictions that he had learned. I wonder this afternoon, what convictions are we teaching in our homes? What convictions are we teaching? I wished I had longer that I could put her in park and speak on the two subjects of convictions and compromise. My friend, we have bowed to the means of compromise in our homes instead of teaching the convictions of God's holy word. Remember, learn means to disciple. Timothy was discipled and he was taught convictions. Well, what is a disciple, Brother Craig? Three things I'll give you in what is meant by a disciple. A disciple is a devoted learner of Jesus Christ. One that is devoted in learning about Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, Brother Craig, you're talking about a disciple. I am. Do you know that every child of God is a disciple? And every disciple is a child of God? And a disciple is a devoted learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how much should I learn of Christ? Now, I'm not speaking about pastors. I'm not speaking about Sunday school teachers. I'm speaking about every born-again Christian. We all should be devoted learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we should be determined followers. Jesus Himself said in John 10, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I speak, they hear, and they follow me. Determined followers of Jesus. So much so, you know this, I'm not speaking anything foreign to you. But you know, in today's society, the wrong question is to ask someone, are they a Christian? It really is, isn't it? I mean, almost everyone will tell you they're a Christian. But if you ask someone, are they a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? They'll probably not answer. Just this past week, Wednesday, in fact, I was in a local barbershop in Jonesville, and this elderly man come in and, now, if you want a witness, go to the barbershop. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to be serious. If you want a witness about Christ, go to the barbershop. This elderly man came in and he sat down in the barber chair. And when he gets, whatever they call that hoodie thing, my wife's a beautician, so she's probably going to critique me on this. but the drape, maybe call it a drape. I'm not sure. But anyway, he put the drape over him and, you know, sealed it off with a little piece of cotton or whatever it is, and started cutting his hair. Well, man, they're there. I mean, he's not going to get up and run out of the barbershop as long as he's getting his hair cut, you know. No one wants to run out when he gets his hair half cut, you know. And so I start talking to him about Christ. I asked him, the first question I asked him, I said, sir, where do you attend church? And he pointed his finger at me while he was getting his hair cut. And he said, sir, I don't know who you are, but don't you say another word to me about church. And I said, well, sir, matter of fact, I really don't want to talk to you about church. I want to talk to you about Christ. I'm in love with Him. And I know what Christ has done for me that I cannot do on my behalf. And I would love to share with you about Christ. Who He is, what He did, and what He requires in salvation. And he got up out of that barber chair And he pointed his finger in my face and he said, "Son, I don't know who you are, but I don't want to hear another word from you." And then he started to walk out the door and he pointed his finger at me. He said, "I'll see you in heaven." I said, "Sir, is that based upon your word or upon God's word?" He said, "Nothing matters to me but my word." Now, he claimed to be going to heaven. But he had a hatred toward God's word. My friend, listen. There is a need today for us to understand the mission of our family. We must not miss the mission, and that is to exalt Christ, to obey Christ, to follow Christ, to learn of Christ, and to pass that on to our families. It is absolutely essential. We find that Timothy was brought up in that atmosphere. Paul said, "Keep on continuing in these things, the Holy Scripture that you've been taught of Christ. Keep learning of Christ. Keep on being a disciple and learn of Him and know for certain and be convinced of where you've learned these things." Amen. We have a mission. And we find that in this particular text. Have you ever thought about our families? We have four children, one of those, the eldest, being our foster daughter, and three of our own biological children. And what an impact my wife and I have had on their lives, good or bad. Can we stop just a moment and contemplate that? Can I say to you today that come Monday, my baby will be married for a year. We no longer have any children in our home. And it's as if a vapor. God gives them to you today, and tomorrow they're grown and gone. And do we understand the impact that we have on their lives? That every second of every day is vital. And my friend, listen. It's not too late to put the Bible back on the centerpiece of our homes. And no, I'm not speaking about the coffee table. I'm speaking about the home. I'm speaking about the lifestyle of our homes. Is that our lives, our marriages, our children, our whole home will be centered around the Holy Word of God. For tomorrow, they'll be gone. It's really scary, isn't it? It's a fear of mine. Because I don't want my children to mess up. And my friend, I've made many mistakes. And I don't have time here to explain to you the mistakes I've made and as a father. And there have been many. But I'm so grateful to hear that my children are walking in the truth. There is no greater joy, Brother Rusty, than to hear that your children are walking in the truth. Just last night, some of you may have heard my phone go off. Did y'all hear my phone go off? I thought I left it in the vehicle. Thank you, brother. I was preaching. I apologize about that. Intentionally left it in my vehicle. Somehow it was still on my side and it went off. You know how we do. Well, guess who it was? It was my baby, my daughter. Now, I'm not going to tell you all that took place, but you may tell you why she called me. She was troubled. She was broken. Her heart was torn because she had just went to an evangelistic event where a guy who had gotten out of a prison was giving his testimony. At the end of his testimony, he asked everyone to bow their heads and to pray the sinner's prayer, which is not found in the Bible. He said, whether you think you're saved or whether you're not saved, just everyone bow your heads and pray this prayer, for it'll do you good. And he led everyone in the sinner's prayer. And it broke my daughter's heart. Thank God it did. Because I've tried my best to instill in my daughter that salvation's not about a prayer. It's not about a program. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm glad to know that my children recognize error whenever they see it and they hear it. And I'm not saying my children are perfect. They're far from perfect, believe me. But my friend, listen, if I could say one or two words to any of you who have children still at home, to know the mission of the family. And that is to exalt Christ through His holy Word and to teach convictions to our children. And then to live out those convictions before them. I'm not doing good on time. All right, go to point number two. The message of the family. The message of the family. Now, where do we get our message? Do you listen to Oprah? She has her own channel now. Did you know that? Oh. Or maybe Joel. He has bunches of them. Or what about Dr. Phil? I mean, we can search all over and find messages everywhere. But where do we find our message for the family? May I submit to you, it is the same place that Paul told Timothy that he was taught the message. Amen. Look what he says in verse 15 and verse 16. Now remember, this ties together what we've just learned about the mission of the family. You cannot separate these two. If we believe in the Scripture and the totality of the Scripture, then we must believe that there's a purpose here. Notice he's speaking here to Timothy that as a child, remember, he's been discipled. He's learned these things. He's been taught these things constantly, continuously, over. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, thank God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Well, the first point is the leaders of the message. Who were the teachers to Timothy? Well, if you go back just a couple of chapters, you'll find that in chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 5. It says, "When I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So we find the leaders of the message. Who were the teachers to Timothy? It was his mother and his grandmother. Amen. Now this child here back in the Scripture, our text, is referring to an infant. Refers to an infant. These women taught Timothy the Word of God from infancy. Amen. Is it ever a time that our children are too young? It's amazing what children can and do learn. Amen. And so therefore we must be teaching them the things of God. Oh, how important. They could have believed because they had lived out what they taught. Amen. Timothy believed these things because his mother and grandmother lived out these truths before him. That's a part of the discipling process. Well, what's the lesson of the Scripture? Well, he says, you have known the Holy Scripture. His parents taught him this Word. What Word? Well, it was the Old Testament. It was the Old Testament. They taught him the Old Testament. Certainly, they understood Deuteronomy chapter 6. Brother Rusty made mention of that last night. And if you would turn with me quickly there, the Shema. Chapter 6, verse 3 through 9. It says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and they may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy Gates. I believe that Timothy's mother and grandmother understood this. I believe they practiced this. I believe they carried this out. Amen. And that is so important, is to understand the mission, but to also understand the message, and the message is the Holy Scripture. You say, wait a minute, Brother Craig, that's the Old Testament. We're talking about, I'm talking about the Old Testament. What says there, which are able. Notice that. Not the King James does. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. No wonder we need to be teaching our children the Holy Scripture. Amen. Even as infants, we need to be teaching them the Holy Scripture. Because it is able. By the time Timothy reached teenage years, he already had strong convictions of the Holy Word of God. Amen. We must understand this truth. Our children's convictions are well in place by the time they reach early teenage years. Much sooner than that, I think. So, the Scripture are to make one wise. Timothy was given a strong foundation. Now, the Jewish family used two means of instruction for teaching. One, memorizing Scripture. Two, a question and answer format. Many refer to that today as catechism. And it's a good method to use in teaching our children the Scripture and having scriptural proofs. And I was so glad to see in the bookstore there are many copies of that available. Praise the Lord. Well, not only the lesson, but now notice the lamp of the Scripture. Number C, the lamp. Does God's Word not teach us that Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Does the Word not teach us that? Well, notice the lamp of the Scripture. He said it would make us wise unto salvation. His parents had taught him and lived out to him the Holy Scripture, the Old Testament. It was Psalms 19:7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You remember in Acts chapter 8 when Philip was called to go south to Gaza, and on his way there he met the eunuch? Do you remember that? Did anybody remember by chance what the eunuch was reading? Isaiah chapter 53. That he was as a lamb led to the slaughter. Yet he openeth not his mouth. Was it an accident that God's Holy Spirit had led this eunuch to His holy word? That it was in this Old Testament passage that this eunuch was made wise unto salvation, and Philip came along and preached unto him Jesus? You mean out of the Old Testament? Hallelujah. Amen. And so we must understand that Timothy even was taught from the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, the things of Christ. Amen. So many today want to tear the Old Testament out and throw it away and say, oh man, we can't study that. That's the dispensation of the law. And man, we're under the dispensation of grace. And so, you see, my friend, listen, that's a major issue today, is that we forsake the command to repent. We hear very little about repentance today. And how shall we ever see the need of repentance if we forsake the law of God? Amen. And so there is a need here, and certainly he was describing and sharing this need in this passage of Scripture. But not only is there a lamp, but notice there is the Lamb, which is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, the Lamb, none other than Jesus Christ. We find here that the Old Testament can give one wisdom that leads unto salvation. But salvation came through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe there is a misunderstanding today that many believe that we are saved by faith. We are not saved by faith. We are saved by Christ through faith. He says it clearly here. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that we must instill. That He had been taught and been discipled in. We must disciple our children and teach our children this conviction that is in Christ. I'm afraid today in many of our churches, there is a practice which is so unbiblical that it's not according to the Scripture. I mentioned one earlier about that's so prominent today, the sinner's prayer that's deceived so many. And the first verse that comes to my heart when I think about that is where Jesus talked about it would be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and thrown into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these my little children. And there is much offense today that is being given. And we need to return back to the convictions of the Holy Scripture. Amen. Well, living out the Scripture. Notice what He says in verse 16. All Scripture. And I'm not going to spend much time on these two verses. Brother Rusty did a tremendous exegesis of this last night. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed all of it. And it's profitable. That means it's useful for doctrine. It's useful for reproof. It's useful for correction. It's useful for instruction, for training in righteousness. Can I ask you, can you separate verse 14 from verse 16? Can you do that? Does anybody have the right to do that? I mean, these are the things in which He was learned. He was discipled in. It is the Holy Scripture that He learned that made Him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, because He knew that all Scripture was God-breathed. It is God's Word. And it's not mine. And it's useful. There are many things we use today. Useful tools to do useful things. But have we forsaken the one tool that God's given us, which is His Holy Word, to instruct our children, to disciple our children, to train our children, to rebuke our children, to correct our children? It is His Holy Word. We must be teaching the convictions of the Holy Scripture, my friend. It is vitally important to teach these and to live these out. I cannot speak enough on that. Can I take just a moment and speak about how as parents, as fathers, who are the leaders, the prophet, the priest, and the discipler of the home, the king, that we are to live out these truths? What good is it to teach our children these truths and then we reveal to them a different life? I don't know if you know it or not, but your children can read you. They know the truth of who you are. What you do speaks so loudly they can't hear what you say. My friend, our walk with Christ is so vital as we teach the convictions of the Holy Word, that we live out those principles and those convictions before our children, that they'll see a passion and a love for Christ and His Holy Word. And those convictions will become real to them as they see those convictions lived out. But my fear today is there are too many mothers and fathers who are trying to teach the Word of God and bringing their children to the house of God, but then living out different sets of principles before them. The Scripture is useful. And the Scripture is the standard. Well, let me give you the rest of these blanks. Profitable means useful. Scripture is sufficient to equip man for every good work. Useful for four things. Doctrine, which means teaching and imparting. Reproof, which means refuting error. Correction, which means straightening up. We heard all these last night, so I'm just giving you the blanks. And instruction in righteousness means training one, referring to a child, spiritual training. Training one up. Okay? So, we come to the last part. And that's the messenger. In verse 17, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? I mean, my friend, we must follow the sequence of this. The mission starts at home, starts at infancy, starts in the home where the mother and the father train, teach, disciple, give convictions, teach convictions, live those out according to the Holy Scripture about Christ, exalting Christ, living for Christ, loving Christ, learning of Christ. Why? Well, here's the messenger. Verse 17. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me give you three things quickly here, which is a sermon in itself of this verse 17. The first is the chosen man. The second is the condition of man. And the third is the commission of man. Notice the chosen. He says, so that the man of God, the man who is of God, the one who has been chosen by God. Amen. This is the man who has the life of God in him. May I submit to you, there are no such thing. There is no such thing as a great man of God. I hear men introduced in conferences. I hear men introduced in conventions. I hear men introduced in revivals. And they brag about this being a great man of God. I submit to you, there is no such thing as a great man of God. There is a great God. A man of a great God. Not great men of a God. And here we find that the man is of God. It is God's choosing. It is of the one that God has chosen and elected to be of Himself, that has invested His life within that man. This is the chosen man of God, whether he's the pastor, the elder, the leader, the father, the mother, whoever it is. The man of God, the chosen one of God. The Scripture says very clearly that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Amen. We are Christ. We belong to Him. But notice not only the chosen man, but the condition of this chosen man. That he may be perfect. Yours may say mature, complete, fully qualified. Qualified? Why do we need to be qualified? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I mean, as we link this passage together, we find that it is so important that we are qualified, that we are thoroughly furnished, equipped to do the work of God. Wow, Brother Craig, I hope you tell us what our work is. What do I need to? Did you forget the mission? The mission never changes. You see, the reason that our churches are in such a problem in such error today is that we don't know the mission. It's because the mission has been forgotten at home. When we understand the mission is to exalt Christ, to honor Christ, to glorify Christ, to learn of Christ, to follow Christ, to long for Christ, then that mission will be carried out in the church. It'll be carried out in our lives. The messenger. We are sent forth to be the messenger, the man of God, that we may be mature, that we may be qualified, thoroughly furnished, equipped to do the work that God's called us to do, able to meet the demands of ministry and righteous living. Then the last point, the commission. I can tell you eat too much gumbo. And wow, it was good. the commission of man unto good works. What is good works? It's quite interesting here that he says that the man of God, that's the chosen one, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That's the condition of this man. But it is unto all good works. That's the commission. Well, what is good works, Brother Craig? Okay, turn back with me to Ephesians 2. Y'all wake up. Ephesians 2. I'm almost through. Promise. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me ask you something. What makes a work good? Or a deed? What makes a deed good? Can man make the work good? Can man make the deed good? I say no, my friend. We have been saved by grace through faith, created in Christ Jesus as His workmanship unto good works. We are His, amen. And the deeds and the work we do can be good only as it comes through Christ. Amen. For there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And so the works, the deeds, the good here comes from a life in Christ. Comes from living in the light. Amen. That light being Jesus Christ. I love the passage in Matthew 5:16 said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, so that your Father may be glorified in heaven." The light is Jesus Christ. The shine before men is the testimony of the Word in our lives as we speak and as we live. And it is all to bring glory to our Father, for God to be glorified in all that we do. Amen. So we find the mission is to exalt Christ in our homes. That Christ is to be the centerpiece of our homes. That we are to exalt Him. That we are to follow Him. That we are to obey Him. We are to love Him. And as we set those convictions, teach and train those convictions in our home, then and only then will we be able to understand how we are to be the messenger to go out and to live for Christ. I think about our homes and our families and how it should multiply, how a father and a mother should have two or three children and they raise them up and teach them convictions of God's holy word and send them out. And out of those three, they teach that many more. And then those teach that many more. And those teach and train that many more. It's a multiplying process. But what's happened? There seems to be a fault in the multiplying process, does it not? And I believe the fault is not at the White House. The fault is not at the schoolhouse. The fault is not in the church house. The fault is in your house. God help us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your